Unspoiled Network Podcast.
This is Undeclared, The Vampire Diaries, Season 4, Episode 3, The Rager. So, is Rebecca's party the Rager? No. It's just Elena, the most boring, raging vampire ever. Welcome to Undeclared.
Mystic Falls. I was born here. This is my home.
And mine.
And mine.
For centuries, supernatural creatures have lived among us.
They are vampires, werewolves, doppelgangers, witches.
And even hybrids.
And then there's Elena. She's one of us now.
You're a vampire now. You just have to learn the right way to be one. And I'm gonna teach you.
Now there's a hunter in town, determined to kill us all. There's more to you than meets the eye, isn't there? And only I know his secret.
You're one of the five.
Welcome to the show. This is Jamie.
I'm Krista.
So, Krista, I have to admit something.
What's that?
I'm just going to be honest. Upon rewatching this, is now the third or fourth time I've rewatched this series. These beginning stages of Elena being a vampire is so incredibly annoying to me.
Oh, thank God.
I didn't feel this way when it first aired. And maybe that was, I don't know, maybe it's because I was younger, maybe it just, I wasn't picking it apart, but I compare the beginnings of Elena as a vampire to when Caroline first became a vampire. And, like, sure, she struggled at first for, like, an episode, but then she got pretty awesome pretty fast. She was, like, effective and decisive and strong. And even though she got captured a lot, she was always willing to fight. She was always willing to, like, take a stand for her friends. And she wasn't showing those characteristics that she had as a human, where she was, like, super insecure and pretty selfish. And she's still controlling, but not in the same way.
Yeah.
Those have never been her defining characteristics as a vampire. It's always just been all the good stuff. And then we have Elena, who seems to have forgotten everything about herself that made her not annoying as a human.
Oh my God, it's like a different person.
Yeah. It's like she's just leaned into her, like, most selfish, it's all about me and my issues, and it's just, she's whiny and it's annoying to watch, and I want it to be over soon.
It better be.
I
mean, I don't have any real threats, but it better.
I can't tell you one way or the other if it will be, but this has just been a kind of a chore. Like, I just want to watch anybody else but her.
Yeah.
Because, okay, also because I don't believe the rage. I think that maybe Nina Dobrev doesn't play that anger very well.
I think she's trying to play Elena rage, where Elena doesn't know how to have rage.
Maybe.
But it's just, it's very teen angsty rage.
Yeah.
Like, it reminds me a lot of a certain young lady that I used to spend a lot of time with when I was dating her father.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, would you like to give your recap?
I would.
Okay.
So nice of you to ask. So this is The Rager. We learn a little bit more about Elena and about me. I forgot high school kids have parties that could be called Ragers. My excuse is that I was never at one, but I still got this wrong. Dope. Connor, our intrepid asshole vampire hunter, is smart enough to figure out that Tyler isn't just a vampire, but a hybrid. He sneaks into Tyler's room, where Tyler is playing injured, and manages to subdue Tyler to get his werewolf venom. Why he doesn't just kill Tyler at this point is beyond me. But yay for Tyler. Boo for Connor, because he's now able to distill werewolf venom into something? Why does he have to distill it? I'm guessing it just looks cool to have a camper with a chem lab that's not for meth? Tyler is now out of the hospital to be surrounded by hybrid bodyguards, because Klaus is back in town. He wants to protect his hybrids by having hybrids protect hybrids? I don't get why he thinks Tyler, who is no longer sired, is more desirable than the security hybrids. But our gang is more worried about Elena. Steven wants to take her out to have fun. Damon wants to get rid of Connor before he heads out. Matt wants Elena to drink blood. I still think this is a terrible idea unless they're giving Matt transfusions on the regular. And Rebecca is very worried about Elena's feelings. Except not even a little, as she verbally taunts new vamp Elena in Rick's old classroom. Elena leaves the classroom to clean up after Rebecca throws a pencil into her shoulder and then invites her to a party? Not in that order. Stefan goes with Elena until they see Connor talking to Jeremy. It turns out that Jeremy being able to see Connor's tattoo means he is a potential hunter. In every generation, a hunter is born into the family business, I guess, or something. Connor also corners Matt to force him to give up a vampire. Matt gives him Rebecca after she sort of apologizes for almost killing him. I can't say I can tell that Matt does this because Rebecca can't be killed, or because he hopes she does get killed. Poor Matt. And while Connor is at school for a very special kind of career day, Damon is in Connor's trailer, getting shot by arrows attached to Claymore landmines. Honestly, I'm caring less and less about the rest of the crew, and just want to follow Damon around Mystic Falls, because I'm old and not in high school. Damon gets help from Meredith, and bravo to the show for having Damon have platonic relationships with beautiful women. I'm thinking Liz as well as Meredith. Speaking of beautiful women, holy crap. Haley is the werewolf who helped Tyler break his sire bond, and she's tracked him back to Mystic Falls. Tyler keeping her a secret from Caroline, and Klaus, who's a big old snoop, finds this useful. Rebecca's party is very busy when Elena and Stefan show up. We even see little April there, and Elena gives her beer. This doesn't make me put my head in my hands. Not even a little. But Rebecca steals Elena's ring for kicks and throws it down a disposal in direct sunlight. Instead of getting even angrier since Elena has the white oak stake, Elena takes the high road and does a keg stand before standing on a motorcycle with Stefan holding the handles. What a perfect day! Except that the keg stand has werewolf venom in it, and both she and Rebecca are poisoned. Elena sees Damon when she and Stefan are getting busy, and Rebecca gets a complete teardown from a Matt hallucination. I'm kind of tired of Rebecca being a bitch, and I hope this all changes soon. Maybe the Matt hallucination smackdown will help. What is Damon up to this whole time? Damon is one to make lemonade slushies out of lemonade, and puts the bombs to good use when he, Jeremy, and Klaus, what a trio, trick Connor into the hospital and blow him to kingdom come. Or do they? Turns out Klaus knows what Connor is and captures him instead of to get all the information out of him. What information? We'll find out next week, kids. In the meantime, Klaus saves Elena from the werewolf death for some reason. April decides to be friends with Rebecca, who pities the orphaned, lonely girl. And Elena almost kills Matt feeding from him, except that Damon stops it and tells her he's going to teach her how to be a vampire. And don't think I didn't notice Rick wasn't in this episode, folks. What a miss.
You missed Caroline and Stefan's very important conversation.
I found it kind of boring.
It's a very important conversation.
It's because they're going to end up in love and together and married.
I think it's because she's the new Lexi.
Well, she's awesome.
Yeah. And, like, there's shades of it right at the beginning when they have a little conversation after Elena goes off to, like, quote change or whatever, where she's like, you're good at this, you helped me, you should write a book and go on The View.
That was cute.
I feel like over time, like, we don't get a lot of Stefan and Caroline before this, little bits and pieces, but they, you know, he did help her get through her transition.
Yeah.
And it's not like they've never had scenes together since, but I really liked them having scenes together here. And then these two conversations I felt really, like, put to the forefront this friendship between the two of them.
It's because they're going to get married.
Why would you?
Vampire babies.
Okay. Vampire babies. You did not mention that.
Yeah, there was no sign, and she was drinking, which you shouldn't do when you're pregnant.
So do you think she's still pregnant with a vampire baby?
No, the venom killed it.
Okay.
It's going to be very sad.
So the next episode's going to be all about her vampire baby miscarriage?
I mean, of course that's what the CW would want to show. No, I'm letting that dream die, but we'll pretend that I was right anyway. Or I will. I don't know about you.
Okay. I don't know. We don't have any answers to it yet. It still could be in play. It's just that you're right. There was no indication in this episode that theory has any legs.
Damn it.
But that doesn't mean it doesn't. It's this show. I mean, they cover more plot in 5 episodes than Buffy would in an entire season.
Very true.
So we start out in Tyler's hotel room, his hospital room. Might as well be a hotel room. He's not sick. He's not hurt. It's been a week, you guys.
Whenever you mess up, it's like this moment of joy because I mess up so many times.
I have had a week, so my brain is only at like maybe 60% capacity right now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Connor's skulking around, knocking out guards. Tyler hears him, and instead of hiding well, he hides poorly and gets paralyzed with a paralytic, and then Connor extracts the werewolf venom from his gums. I don't know how he figured out. Well, maybe he figured out that Tyler was a werewolf because in the last episode when he shot him, Tyler's eyes glowed yellow and he growled at him.
Yeah.
That might be the clue. But later in his trailer, we see he's distilling this venom down in his handy dandy beakers and bubbling potion bottles.
Yeah, to what? I still was just like, why are we doing this? I don't understand.
I don't know.
And maybe, yes, my cat has decided to bury right now, and I apologize.
That's okay. When you distill it down like this, does that mean that you're concentrating it so you don't have to use as much?
I mean, he has to have kegs, probably multiple kegs, that get infected with the... I just, like, the whole thing makes no sense. Why would you want to have less of it? Because you're not going to get more of it.
Maybe. This guy seemed to be pretty damn competent in his own abilities.
Oh, yeah. I just don't... Unless they explain it later, I'm going to go with they just wanted more bottles on the shelf because it made him look more interesting.
Yeah. We also see him looking over files about Elena and Jeremy.
Yes.
So then we get this scene at the Salvatore's where Stefan is tinkering with a motorcycle and Damon teases him about finally having a midlife crisis after 164 years.
It is impressive.
And Stefan says that he's just trying to get Elena to have some fun since her transition so far has been kind of depressing. And no fun for anyone. And Damon snarks at him that those who can't teach, or those who can't do, teach.
I know.
And Stefan's like, oh, so we're still fighting. He asks Damon where he's going, and Damon tells him about what Connor did to Tyler. So he's planning on finding Connor and eating him.
I'd like to point out how weird it is that Tyler went to Damon.
Look, times are weird. Rick has died. And now everybody's like, who's the adult in the room? I guess it's Damon.
That makes no sense.
Because Stefan is preoccupied with Elena being a vampire, and Damon is the only one who's using any kind of rational thought.
The only thing I could think of was, like, Tyler and his mom told his mom, who told Liz, who told Damon.
It's That's possible. That could have been...
The only way I could see this happening.
Could have been the chain of command. Though, Damon does seem to now have some kind of relationship with Carol, because he clued her into part of his plan later.
Yeah.
So, I guess maybe the three of them have formed the new council?
I don't understand.
I don't know. I don't know, because later on, also, Damon calls Tyler, and it's like,
I know! It makes no sense. Klaus uses a phone,
but David's like, yeah, I'm gonna go, like, try to find this hunter and blow him up. Does Tyler want to join? Klaus's like, he's preoccupied, but I might come. Like, now these two are friends? The hashtag for this episode when it was airing was Klamon. K-L-A-M-O-N. The official hashtag for people to tweet about this episode.
Clayman with claymores. Oh my god. So, and then the trio of Jeremy helping them.
Yeah.
What? And like,
I know. It's very bizarre. It's like Damon's like, well, I can't fuck Elena. I guess I have to give up on that dream. Maybe I should just get along with everyone before I leave.
And then Jeremy's okay with working with them.
I know. It's weird.
And he wants praise from Damon?
Who, Jeremy?
Yes!
You don't say you're a badass.
I mean, it's just, my brain was just so confused. It was like, were we not supposed to have seen previous seasons?
I guess Elena becoming a vampire has made everybody just go like, I guess bygones. I mean, the one thing we were trying to stop from happening happened, so.
So fuck it, let's all hang out.
I guess we should all get along now, because now she's a vampire too. Like, what am I fighting for here? I mean, at this point, Jeremy should just become a vampire. Please don't let Jeremy become a vampire. I can't deal with him not being
so bad at being a vampire. He really should go back to Colorado.
So basically, he's a potential hunter, but we don't know what that means.
Neither does the hunter, according to Klaus.
Yeah. And I'm sure we'll learn more about the five.
Ugh.
But are there five of them? Are there five of them at once? Are there only ever five ever? Is Connor the last one? Or is he number four?
I haven't seen enough flannel.
Different kind of hunter.
I'm disappointed.
A severe lack of Jensen Ackles and Jared Padalecki.
I still think their idea for this series finale for the show was fantastic.
It would have been a weird crossover because their tones are very different.
And I would be totally laughing my ass off.
However, Supernatural had a Scooby-Doo episode, so stranger things have happened.
Yes, it did.
Yes, it did.
It was glorious.
When I was like catching up, because I famously quit during season 6, then rewatched, quit again during season 6, and then finally gave it another try. Glad I did. Love the show.
Yep.
But I remember hearing about the Scooby-Doo episode and being like, fuck that show. It has so far, jumped so far over the shark. It can't even see the shark anymore. It's done. I'm so glad I'm not watching. And then I get to the episode and I'm like, oh god, no. But it actually was pretty fun.
It was. It was a blast.
Yeah. So, whatever. This isn't the Supernatural podcast, so people would love if we talked about that show, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Nobody's unspoiled for that show, and it's got 15 seasons, guys. So, don't ask. It's not going to happen. And you really, really don't want me doing it, because all I'm going to talk about is how pretty Jensen Ackles is, and how pretty Jared Padalecki is, and how tall. Anyway, so, we were talking about Stefan and Damon, and
everybody getting along randomly.
Yeah, but Damon's planning on finding Connor, eating him, that way they don't have a hunter running around with vampire poison, and Stefan offers to go with them, but Damon doesn't want him to. He wants to kill this hunter and leave town as promised. And Stefan's like, yeah, but that promise was made before Elena turned into a vampire. Things are different now. And Damon's like, yeah, you punched me in the face, though. And Stefan's like, you bloodshared with my girlfriend? So it was deserved. Stop being so dramatic. And Damon's like, being dramatic would be leaving while the hunter's still alive.
Dun-dun-dun.
I have a feeling these two are going to get over this. I'm sure they'll be fine. It's not the first girl they fought over before, so they'll be fine.
Yeah, everything will be perfect.
So then we get the school. Elena and Matt meet in the spot they used to go to make out in so that she can feed on him. And she's hesitant because she didn't save his life so that he could be her personal blood bag. And really, like, what's your other option, Elena? You can't seem to get your shit together. He's trying to help you. you refuse to eat anything else, or if you try, you throw it up. So just please, shh.
I still think he's anemic and needs some medical attention.
So she only feeds a little bit, and she's able to control her bloodlust by, you know, not feeding into it, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
They head to class, and they notice these flyers on cars announcing that the town has a curfew in place since Tyler was shot in broad daylight.
Yeah.
And then we have the scene where we learn that he's basically under house arrest, not because of his mom, but because of Klaus, who his mother called, which is weird.
I know. None of it makes sense.
I guess we just needed a reason for Klaus to come back. And there's no real reason for him to come back. Because Alina's not a human anymore.
And I still think, like, the whole, I have to protect my hybrids. With other hybrids?
I guess. These other hybrids are sire-bound to him, though.
Yeah, so you would want to keep those.
Well, what, you think Tyler's going to try to turn them?
I mean, probably because that's interesting, but also, what use is Tyler?
Maybe Klaus has seen the error of his ways and it wants to win Tyler over. Let me protect you, young wolf. My first hybrid, my precious. Let me keep you alive. Now be my friend, please.
Maybe it's so Caroline doesn't hate him.
That may be a factor as well. So back at the school, we have the scene in the classroom. Yes, Rebecca is being a total bitch, and she's pushing all the buttons, and she's had 1,000 years to learn how to do this. And Elena should probably never go to Vegas and play poker because she cannot handle anything.
No.
So there's this whole thing with Elena throws a pencil at Rebecca, and Rebecca's fast, throws it back, and hits her in the shoulder, and it's, like, really close to her heart. She's like, like, what are you doing? She's stronger than you, dummy. You've been a vampire for a week. So Stefan leads her out of the classroom and is trying to, like, get her to calm down. And she's like, I didn't think I was capable of hate. And really, really.
Oh, my eyes were at the back of my head.
You don't hate Klaus for killing Jenna and your birth dad and trying to kill you and turning Stefan against you and taking his humanity away and turning him back into a ripper and all the other countless things that Klaus has done. You don't hate Klaus, but you hate Rebecca because she hurt your feelings.
I'm telling you, I miss that young lady quite a lot.
Who?
But this is not the first time.
That one. I thought you were talking about a fictional person.
No, I'm talking about somebody I love very much.
Yeah. So they see Connor approaching Jeremy in the hallway, and Elena's like, I'm going to kill him. And Stefan's like, why don't you go calm down? Take care of all that blood all over you, and I'll go take care of Jeremy. We never really see what happens with that.
Well, he just listens in, doesn't he?
Maybe. Probably. We don't see any of it. Stefan heads that way. Elena goes into the bathroom and she's washing the blood off of her shoulder. And this girl named Heather comes in holding her neck and claims that Rebecca sent her. And then Rebecca comes in and starts pushing Elena's button some more by wiping the blood from Heather's neck and touching her fingers to Elena's mouth, which gross. And then Elena's like, this is my school and my life and I won't have you ruining it. And Rebecca's like, whatever, it's my school now. My life
and
now.
Nobody gives a shit about Heather.
Maybe you shouldn't be here.
Ugh.
And then she gets more of Rebecca's or Heather's blood and wipes it all over Elena's face.
Like, seriously, normal Elena would be concerned about this young lady who's bleeding.
Yeah. But no, Elena just wants to be, like, angry.
Ugh.
So we get the scene with Jeremy and Connor, where Connor is interested in Jeremy because Jeremy can see the tattoo, which Jeremy's like, what? It's a tattoo. And Connor's like, yeah, it's invisible, except to fellow hunters. And Jeremy tries to play dumb, which is funny because Jeremy's pretty dumb. But when he's trying to play dumb, he does it really badly. And Connor can see right through it. I just said I read up on your family. So I know what your parents were up to. So maybe don't do this. Why don't you get me a vampire and I'll show you what you need to know. And Jeremy's like, well, how do I do that? And Connor's like, start with your friend with the bandage on his neck, doofus.
Like, seriously, after you have that conversation with Jeremy, you want to train him? You really do?
If I were Connor, who doesn't seem to be particularly stupid, I would be like, you know what? Let's not groom this one to be a potential hunter. He's a dumbass.
Maybe it's like, well, it can only be so many people. So if he dies, then the next one will get triggered. So,
but Connor doesn't know these things. He doesn't know anything about it.
I know. I don't, like, why are you talking to Jeremy?
So he's like, wow, so you can see my tattoo. That's really weird. But oh my God, you're fucking stupid. This is who I get stuck with? This, you're my Padawan? The only aspect of the Force you have is that you can see my tattoo? If I gave you a lightsaber, you'd probably chop your own arm off. Been watching a lot of Star Wars Rebels, guys, by the way.
I'm just like, all I can think is like, I'm the only black man in this entire TV show, and this is the shit I have to deal with.
Seriously.
Like, wasn't it bad enough that he has to be in Mystic Falls where everyone's gonna know where he is at all times?
Yeah. I mean, and he's not trying to be subtle anywhere he goes, so.
How does he get a hold of Jeremy with the bio thing? Like, he doesn't seem to have infinite resources or anything. He lives in a goddamn RV.
I don't know.
Cooking vampire meth.
Maybe he just pushes his way into the town's records the same way he pushed his way into the Lockwood Mansion.
None of it makes sense. I'm entertained, don't get me wrong.
So we get this scene with Damon breaking into the trailer and he's snooping around and suddenly he's shot through with arrows that are attached to wires that are attached to a bomb.
I love that his first reaction is just to go,
yeah. Oh, crap. So we have that scene with Caroline and Stefan and Elena, which we alluded to. Elena says that she's going to go get changed for the party, but really she goes to the Salvatore's house to try to find the White Oak steak, but we'll get back to that. Mm-hmm. This is where we meet Haley.
She's so gorgeous. Oh my God.
She is.
Like, in a show of beautiful people.
Yeah. Her name is Phoebe Tonkin, and her acting in this episode is quite bad.
Yeah.
She gets better.
Okay. So she's going to be around a little bit. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But in this, I'm just like, girl, you are trying very, very hard. It might be the way she's written. Not sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, she shows up at Tyler's house and is like, there's just a little too much going on. Like, as good as like the lines that were given to Damon last week were, that's as bad as the lines are for Haley this week.
Yeah.
Where she's like, hey, Lockwood, no, 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 don't ever say it again. It's just too much of like, this girl's nothing like Caroline. Maybe there was something going on with her and Tyler while she was helping Tyler break the sire bond. The way she's playing it is either it was or she wanted it to be. But basically, Tyler lied about who he is and where he's from. And the only reason that Haley found out that it was a lie was because she's friends with this guy who's a hybrid who mentioned that he was going to this place called Mystic Falls to protect another hybrid named Tyler. And she's like, wait, I know a Tyler, but he's from Florida. Let me go check it out.
Yeah, what does she do? Is she just a rambling woman? Does she not have a job or school or what?
Don't know. We don't know anything about her.
It's very
except
confusing.
That she's apparently a werewolf.
Yes.
He tells her that he didn't want to put her in danger, and now hybrids are all over his house. I guess that's basically it. We don't see... Oh, they. I think the scene ends with her being like, why don't you give me some of that rich person bourbon or whatever. Rich person scotch. And he's like, yeah, sure. And I mean, Tyler seems pretty happy to see her, too.
Yeah, I mean, she seems nice enough. And she helped him out.
Mm-hmm. But... if Klaus is right, maybe Tyler's a little too happy to see her, considering he's not told her about his girlfriend or his girlfriend about her.
I don't think that's what's going on. I decided it's not.
Okay. At the trailer, Meredith shows up because Damon called her, of all people. She asks why when he has capable vampires to help him, and he says it's because he's stubborn. And he was hoping she could use her medical skills to get this arrow loose so he can get free before he explodes.
Yep.
They discuss the pastor's letter and what the greater evil could be that's coming. She asks how he got stuck on hunter duty, and he is snarky and says Stefan had a physics test. And she's like, well, you're a good brother. And he's like, I'm the bad brother.
It's so stupid.
And she finishes cutting away his flesh so that he can get the arrow out, which he does very easily. And I like this little friendship.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fun.
Yeah, and there's no kind of tension or anything. They're just talking to each other.
Yeah. There's none of that, like, oh, you're irresistible, that was from every other woman up to this point.
Well, Liz.
Okay. Liz aside. But every other attractive young woman, not a mom, that has been on this show. Wait, did Matt's mom have sex with? No, she had sex with Tyler.
She didn't have gross. Sex with him. She was making out with him.
Whatever. Still gross.
Yes, I don't disagree.
She didn't. But she was like hitting on Damon too. Like everybody other than Liz.
Well,
was always like, ugh,
I think
Damon,
Carol sweet. Flirted with him briefly.
She did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's nice to see him just have a friendship vibe with a girl.
Yes.
And maybe part of that is because she was also starting a relationship with his dead BFF.
Yeah.
Before his dead BFF went all evil.
Yeah.
So maybe he respects Rick a little.
Entirely possible that he's so like messed up about Elena too that he doesn't have that antenna up right now.
It's possible too. But seriously, up even till last season, like, he had spite sex with Rebecca.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so, the only other person I can think of is Bonnie.
Yeah. True. No Bonnie in this episode, by the way.
No, there's no Bonnie.
We get this scene with Rebecca approaching Matt at his locker, and she invites him to a party, and he's just ignoring her. And she sort of apologizes for almost killing him, trying to explain why she did what she did, and that she didn't want to hurt him, and he just doesn't give a shit.
I mean, yeah.
Why should he accept her apology? Like, she tried to kill him in order to kill his friend, and actually succeeded in killing his friend, who's now a vampire. So he walks away, and then he gets slammed into the locker or into a wall by Connor, who is like, has no regard for personal space. He's so fucking rude. What right does this guy have to slam a child against the wall, put a knife to his throat, and demand to know who the vampires are? Didn't you just tell Matt to find these things out? Not Matt. Didn't you just tell Jeremy to find these things out? I guess he realizes how dumb Jeremy is and he's not going to get anywhere. So he's like, I just fucking do it myself. But I don't understand, like, normal human behavior. So I'm going to throw a kid against a wall in a school.
With a knife out.
With a knife. Whatever. So Matt, quick thinking, sends him in the direction of Rebecca. I don't have an answer for your question about whether it was because he knows Rebecca can't be killed by this guy, or if it's because he thinks that Rebecca will kill this guy.
Yeah.
Or if it's because he's just pissed at Rebecca and wants to get back at her.
Yeah.
So let this guy try to hurt her. Whatever. Who cares?
Maybe all of the above.
Maybe. And it's not just that Connor puts a knife to Matt's throat. He also knocks him unconscious.
Yeah. Rude.
When you wake up, all these vampires will be dead by sundown. Shut up.
Matt is... Why for Matt? Matt had enough shitty life before all this was going on.
I know. Like, give the poor kid a break.
Yeah, can he get, like, some sort of... Can he win the lottery or something?
And, like, why is it your fucking business if he's letting somebody drink his blood? I guess because you're a vampire hunter, but that's still not your business. Find out who the vampire is another way. Follow him. Be stealthy. Be a spy. Don't be a fucking walking bomb.
If it was any other person in this series, oddly enough, they would have supernatural powers. But also, come on, Matt gets beat to shit regularly. Like, just leave him alone.
Yeah. Yeah. It really sucks for Matt to be the only, like, human, really. And Jeremy, I guess.
But now Jeremy's a hunter, so he's going to get magic powers. This is utter bullshit for Matt.
Yeah.
He's not rich, and he gets to be the regular human.
All right, so then we get Damon coming home to find Elena rummaging through his room. She claims she's looking for the good bourbon. He directs her to his top dresser drawer. And, Elena, have you ever seen a dresser? Everybody's top drawer is their underwear drawer.
It's required.
Everyone's. So what did you think you were going to find in there? So stupid. But he thinks he's hilarious.
Well, yeah.
He knows that she's looking for the white oak steak. He's not going to hide it, which is anyone could find it. So he's learned from the moonstone.
Who knew?
He is starting to take his shirt off. She asks what happened to him. And he says it was a hunter mishap. She mentions that Connor was at her school and he knows this because Jeremy told him. And she's like, why have you been talking to Jeremy?
Thank you.
And she doesn't want him to bring Jeremy into this. And Damon's like, well, he might actually be useful. Starts unbuttoning his pants, asks, are you going to stay for the whole show?
And Elena, why did you not?
And she storms out saying she's going to find that steak.
Oh my God, she's such a,
So Jeremy does meet Connor at his trailer and tells him about Meredith. And when I first saw this, I wasn't sure if Jeremy and Damon had a plan or if Jeremy was double-crossing Damon. It was hard to tell.
Because I just didn't think he was going to feed an actual human to a vampire hunter.
I figured he was directing... Like, I thought it could go two ways. Either we're being deceived about Jeremy's affiliation with Damon, so we're watching him deceive Connor, or we're being deceived with Jeremy working with Damon, so maybe he's leading Connor to Meredith to find out about the blood supply she has and what she's been doing with it to lead to Damon. I don't know. I guess you just assumed that Jeremy was working with Damon.
Yeah, because I just can't see him deciding, you know what's a really good thing to do? Feed Rick's old girlfriend to this guy.
I don't think he thought, because she's a human, she's not in any danger from Connor.
I mean, except for the knife to the throat and the concussion, yeah.
Sure, but she wouldn't be, he's not going to kill her. She's not a vampire. You
know, just so, head trauma. That hasn't killed anyone before.
Head trauma or maybe just threatening her. Maybe he's different with women. We haven't seen him knock any women out
yet.
So Connor is disgusted by this town protecting vampires. He says, you know, you start protecting vampires, next thing you know, your town is infested, your school is infested, and there's even a vampire throwing a party. And Jeremy asks if that's where they're going, and Connor says, no, we're going to go to the hospital, because if any vampires drink anything at that party, they'll be dead by sundown. I didn't catch that line.
Really?
Probably the first couple times I saw it. Maybe I stopped listening to him. I didn't catch that the first couple times. That, like, no, if any vampires drink anything at the party, they'll be dead. So I didn't see the, like, beer drinking leads to werewolf venom coming until Alina got sick. Because I thought there was something in it, because Rebecca's gets all woozy. But I didn't realize it was werewolf venom until Alina got sick.
Yeah, I knew something was wrong with the beer, but I didn't connect it to the werewolf venom, which is pretty... I was almost there. I could have just touched it.
Yeah. Looking at it now, I'm like, it's pretty obvious. There's a very pointed, like, Stefan taking a beer from a kid and being like, this is mine now. And then Alina taking it from him and Stefan being like, well, I'm going to go find something stronger than beer. Mm-hmm. And then Alina goes to take a sip, but she's interrupted by April, so she doesn't drink it right away. And then April drinks it. And then Rebecca makes a snipe about Alina drinking her beer.
Yeah.
And then Alina does a keg stand. Which I wish we could just skip.
Yes.
Caroline, however, skips this party because she wants to go hang out with Tyler. But Tyler won't let her in.
No.
And he's like, I'm on house arrest. There are hybrids all over my house. And she's just like, so? And upstairs, Klaus follows Haley into a study and says that she's a new face. And she says, based on your accent, you're an old face. So you must be Klaus. And he wonders why Tyler has never mentioned her. And then he listens to Tyler and Caroline's conversation, where Tyler is encouraging Caroline to go to the party without him. And even though she wants to stay, he insists because he'll be no fun. Klaus realizes, well, maybe I know why Tyler's never told anyone about you. Which is either true, and Klaus will use it to get between Caroline and Tyler, or it's false, and Klaus will use it to get between Caroline and Tyler. Either way, it's ammunition for Klaus, because he wants Caroline.
Tyler's not that devious. I don't think that he wouldn't want to. I just don't think he'd be able to pull it off.
You're probably right. I think Haley definitely wanted him to pull all kinds of things off. But Tyler is pretty dedicated to Caroline.
Well, and also just lying to her wouldn't go well for him. He wouldn't be able to just go, oh, okay, everything is fine.
Well, she didn't... It's not like she was in contact with him while he was gone.
No, but even now, I'd expect him to seem more antsy.
Like he seemed at the door?
No, I mean, like, when he was talking to Haley. Mm. Like, we can't do this. It's wrong.
Yeah, maybe. Or like, what are you doing here? Oh my God.
Yeah. My girlfriend's gonna freak. Instead, he
was, like, really happy to see her. However, yeah. He still is hiding her from Caroline. So why is he doing that? Unless he's trying to keep Caroline out of the house, not just because Haley's there, but because Klaus is there.
I think it's more Klaus and the million fucking sired hybrids.
Well, they're not going to do anything to her. Klaus isn't going to let anybody do anything to her. We know this.
She might get Tyler caught in knows crossfire.
This. What crossfire?
You never know. It's Klaus.
He's still probably going to save Caroline before anyone else, even with his hybrids there.
That is true.
All right. So Elena and April are talking about how April is adjusting, and they're interrupted by Rebecca. And we get this dumb scene with Rebecca and Elena and the ring and the sunlight and whatever. So then Elena is pissed off, and she pulls the white oak stake out of her purse, but is stopped by Stefan. He talks her down and convinces her to leave. Before they do, she does a dumb keg stand, and Rebecca watches, and she's irritated. But then she's, like, overcome by strange blurriness and looks in the mirror, and her veins are, like, pulsing and black.
Yes.
Tyler goes into his office to find Klaus there. Klaus wants to talk about Haley. Tyler asks where she is, and Klaus says, oh, she had to leave, but don't worry, she went out the back so Caroline wouldn't see. He thinks that Tyler went to the Appalachians to break the sire bond, met Haley, gorgeous, animal instincts take over, and in a moment of weakness, sex. Tyler won't confirm or deny that this is the truth. They're interrupted by this call from Damon, which is very funny. Klaus answers and says that Tyler is otherwise occupied with making decisions about honesty and whatnot. And asks if he can help Damon with anything. Damon's like, well, I want to see if Tyler wanted to join me in going after Vampire Hunter. And Klaus is like, well, he's not able to, but I would love to. Stefan and Elena go for a motorcycle ride. That's all I wrote.
Yeah, who cares? Here's my question. They're trying to keep a quote-unquote low profile, but they're doing this shit, and anyone could come down the road at that point and go, what the fuck is this?
And for a moment there, I thought, oh, look, she's having fun. Maybe she'll snap out of all this nonsense, but no.
No.
So they're making out after the motorcycle ride, but she keeps hallucinating Damon. And she realizes that something is wrong, and then notices that the veins on her arm are like all messed up like Rebecca's were. And Stefan remembers Damon saying that the hunter had werewolf venom.
Yep.
Right before that was when Jeremy and Connor go to the hospital, and Jeremy points out Meredith. And Connor follows her into a supply room, but instead finds Damon, and he's like, it's not a great place for a germaphobe. And Damon's like, yeah, not a germaphobe, so much as a vampire. And then Connor pulls out a gun to shoot Damon, but he's instead shot by an arrow, which is connected to a bomb or whatever, a landmine, just like the one that he had in his trailer. And then Klaus comes in and says hello. We've got Rebecca's hallucination of Matt.
Oh, that was hard to listen to.
It was. And when I thought it was Matt, I was like, wow, he is being really, really harsh with her. And then when I realized that this was her feelings about herself, then it was really sad. So Damon and Klaus interrogate Connor. Damon wants to know what this greater evil is, because I fought this guy and he's pretty evil. And Klaus is like, yeah, there really isn't more evil than me. And Connor says it doesn't matter if they kill him because another hunter will come in his place. Damon snarks about vague threats and prophecies and disappearing tattoos. But that gets Klaus's attention, and he's like, disappearing tattoos? And then leans into Connor and is like, oh, there's more to you than meets the eye.
Oh.
So Connor tries to stake him, but Klaus is very fast and grabs the stake and looks at the markings that Connor carved on it and says he's one of the five. Damon doesn't know what that is. Connor doesn't know what that is. Connor says he's faster than the average hunter and pulls out the arrow, which detonates the bomb. Damon runs out really fast. Seems like Klaus was probably still in there, but as it turns out, he wasn't, because he saved this guy.
Yeah.
Which we find out later. Meanwhile, Stefan is leaving Klaus all kinds of voicemails. And then when he arrives, he's like, you know, one voicemail is just as effective as nine.
Is it, though?
Stefan explains the situation and begs Klaus to save her. And Klaus is like, well, what would you have done if you'd succeeded in ridding the world of me? But he's decided there's use for Elena. And anyway, gives
what
her a slip.
What is that? What
I don't
is
know.
Her use?
I am not sure what her use could be to him, except to maybe use her to hold over the Salvators. I don't know. Rebecca wakes up and finds April cleaning up after the party and asks why she's still there. And April doesn't want to be alone thinking about how her father blew up all these people and no one's investigating why. So Rebecca offers to help her. At the hospital, Damon confirms with Carol that the sniper who shot Tyler was in the room and blew up. Meredith is pissed that Damon didn't tell her he was planning on setting off a bomb in the hospital where there's sick people.
Yep.
He tells her to relax. No one was hurt. And then he asks her to come and have a drink with him so they can talk about what the five means. And she's like, look, you're not leaving. You're not going anywhere. So fix your shit with your brother and Elena. I'm not your new drinking buddy.
That was a little sad.
Do you think she'll change her mind?
No, I think they're letting us know that Damon can't try and patch up the hole in his heart with Meredith.
Doesn't he still deserve a new drinking buddy?
He totally does, but we're going to get Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Oh.
No, his name is Rick. It's okay.
So, now we have the scene with Caroline and Stefan. She says it's not every day that she's summoned by a Salvatore.
Which I was surprised by, honestly, because I felt like that is every day for Caroline.
Nah, I think a lot of times it's Selena. It's not really Stefan or Damon that's like, hey, Blondie, need your help. It's usually them saying, you get Caroline to do this. Or Caroline's already involved and making plans herself. So she asks him what's up, and he asks her what she did to come into herself after she became a vampire, because he wants Elena to be able to enjoy being a vampire, and he wants to enjoy it with her. But he's afraid that if he does, he'll be letting the Ripper out. So he doesn't want to hold her back, but he doesn't want to let her go.
Yeah.
And Damon promised to keep him off of the edge, but they're not in a good place right now either when it comes to Elena.
Yeah.
So he was hoping that Caroline could help him because she's so good at being a vampire. And she tells him that that's because of him. So, yeah.
And then they kiss and get married and have babies.
She tells him to call her whenever he wants, and she won't let him lose control. Matt goes to Elena's house to help her feel good again, to help her feed again. And she can't control herself this time, and doesn't stop with just a little bit of blood. She is basically killing him.
Mm-hmm.
Damon rushes in and pulls her off of Matt. And she starts apologizing when she realizes what she's done. Damon sends Matt home. And then tells Elena that he's going to teach her the right way to be a vampire. Then Connor wakes up in his trailer, realizing that Klaus saved him. Klaus says he's worth more to him alive than dead. Connor asks what the five is. Klaus tells him he should know his own history. But it basically means that he's the most protected vampire hunter in town.
Yep.
So, what special powers do the five have?
They have a cure for vampirism. And that is why Klaus decided to save Elena.
The five have a cure for vampirism?
Yes.
If that were the case, then why would Connor be spending all this time trying to kill vampires?
Because they're all evil. That's why they have the cure. I'm not saying it makes sense, but this is what I'm thinking.
Okay. So Klaus wants to use them, or at least this one of them, mm-hmm. to get to this cure, to cure Elena so he can make his hybrids.
Yes.
Okay. I'm trying to think if I had any other questions. What do you think it means for Jeremy?
I think he's going to get superpowers. I don't know how it's going to have superpowers, but he's going to get superpowers.
If he's going to have superpowers, then Connor has superpowers. So what do you think this means?
I think that Connor is probably stronger and more agile and all that other stuff than a normal human, but not like vampire strong.
So does that mean that Jeremy would be too?
Jeremy will become that when he gets initiated somehow. Probably by killing a vampire, but I feel like Jeremy's already killed vampires.
He sure has.
So maybe he has to like bathe in the blood of a vampire or some crap. Or get the ink put in through vampire blood.
What do you mean?
Well, like, you know, you tattoo.
So you think the tattoo, the actual ink, is vampire blood?
I mean, that's all I got, because it's invisible to other people.
And to vampires.
Yes. Yes. I'm not saying any of it makes sense. This is the only thing I can come up with.
Okay.
Either that or, like, maybe it's the blood of another hunter. Like, it gets passed down from Big Sith to Little Sith. I can't remember what things are.
They're not Big Sith and Little Sith.
I can't remember. I really
Darth
can't.
Vader was the Little Sith.
He was the Little Sith.
It's with the Sith, it's just, it's like anything else. It's master and apprentice.
I like mine better.
With Jedis, it's master and Padawan. With the Sith, it's master and the apprentice.
It's big and little. It's like a sorority.
All right, I have a little bit of trivia.
Awesome.
This is the second episode of the show in which a vampire's daylight ring is forcibly taken off of them. The first was Damon by Stefan in season one.
I remember that one.
Elena is the fifth main character to be infected with werewolf venom after Damon, Catherine, Stefan, and Caroline. While Rebecca is also infected, the venom only weakens her temporarily because she's an original and cannot be killed by anything other than the white oak stake.
I was wondering about that, but I figured Klaus would eventually get to her. I didn't know.
Yeah, no, nothing can kill her except that stake. I do wonder what would happen if they were dismembered.
Hmm.
But it's not that kind of show.
No, thank God. That would be awful.
It was implied that Rebecca has never sustained a bite from a werewolf before, as she was unfamiliar to the hallucinogenic effects of werewolf venom after drinking the beer that Connor spiked with it. Elena almost kills Matt while feeding, just as Caroline almost killed him in Bad Moon Rising. But Damon stops her before she can drain his blood.
Mm-hmm.
This episode, these are some tropes. This episode was a perfect example of unspoken plan guarantee, meaning that a plan's likelihood to succeed is inversely proportional to how much the audience knows about it. Since we knew nothing of Damon's plan to snare Connor, it worked like clockwork.
But it didn't, because Klaus went back on it.
Well, true. But up to that
point. Because Klaus always goes back on shit.
True. Another great example of torture always works, which is another trope, despite the fact that the vampire that was feeding on Matt could have just as well compelled him to forget everything about it, Connor was sure that he was going to get a truthful answer when he put a knife to Matt's neck.
Yes.
Lucky for Matt, he had a scapegoat vampire waiting in the wings. And that's true. Maybe Connor doesn't know that much about vampires and doesn't understand that they can compel humans. And, like, Matt maybe doesn't remember who did it. So yeah, then what is he going to do? Just cut his carotid?
Him. Yep. Connor's a dick.
A classic rule of writing is that one should show, not tell, how they are feeling. Elena's constantly repeating that she hates Rebecca and has never felt such rage is a sad example of "that makes me so angry." Stating the emotions because she cannot show it through actions or thoughts. Or actions or expressions.
They could just have her breaking things with her hands. Something.
Mm-hmm. Instead of, ugh, she makes me so mad. Oh my God, I'm just raging. Ugh. This is maybe my least favorite Elena episode.
Like, have her punch through a wall, guys.
Seriously, there's all kinds of stuff she could do.
Yeah.
And that's it. We don't have any new reviews this week.
Guys, now I'm sad.
See what you did, guys? You made Krista sad.
I'm going to tell you about how sad I am now.
See, you're supposed to show, not tell, so you should have just started crying.
That's not going to happen. I've cried on one podcast ever.
Yep.
It's all your fault.
It's not my fault.
You picked it.
True. If you would like to hear Krista cry, go listen to our Band of Brothers podcast. It can be found on wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, wherever. Spotify, it's everywhere.
Yep.
Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
No, I do not.
All I have is Doctor Who, but we are going to be taking this upcoming week off because Natasha's birthday is this week, so she's giving herself an actual vacation or staycation. Woo! She's not going to be doing any work. So, won't have that, but you will have this. If you want to find us, we're on Twitter at UndeclaredTVD, Facebook, UndeclaredTVD Spoiler Group, or the patrons-only spoiler group for, or patrons-only group for unspoiled patrons. If you are a patron, you can also go to the Mighty Network. You get an email about that when you become a patron. That's a special group with no Facebook bullshit.
Yes, and also Instagram.
Right. We have an Instagram, Undeclared TVD. Has not been updated in a while. Sorry, guys. It's been an annoying couple of weeks with my job. So maybe I'll go back and find some very pretty shots of Damon and Rick. Just Damon in general. And yeah, just Damon lately. He looks really good.
I just want him to have a better haircut. I don't like his hair.
You should see his hair now.
Oh, God.
Oof. Not good. Oh, God. He's got some quarantine hair that is just not good. Oof. If you would like to become a patron, go to patreon.com/unspoiled. And that's it. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
I just want Elena to not be boring.
Yeah, me too. Oh, next week's episode is called The Five.
The Five? Okay, well, that makes sense.
So, how are they going to... I was going to say, how are they going to, like, twist your expectations by making it not about whatever The Five is?
It turns out that these hunters are the Jackson Five.
That would not be fun.
I would be so entertained.
Well, considering by this time Michael Jackson was a corpse.
Yes. But pretty they all fun. Have to like do this, the dances and everything and sing along.
I probably would have quit the show. I love the Jackson 5, but that's so gimmicky. I probably would have quit the show.
I mean, you know, I just want to see. It would be great to have like all the vampires singing, "Oh, baby, give me one more chance."
That's not the name of the song.
No, I know, but I just want them to sing a little bit. I don't want them to sing the whole song.
No. No. What do you actually think? Are we going to just learn about the Five? Are we going to suddenly have five vampire hunters show up?
I don't think they can summon them. It's not like they're Death Eaters.
How do you know?
I decided. The tattoo, he probably has pressed on his tattoo before.
And he doesn't know what the Five is, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So he can't summon them if he doesn't know who they are.
So it's not like he had some kind of, not master, but it's not like he learned from someone.
His big Sith?
Right. Emperor Palpatine, the big Sith, doesn't quite have the same ring to it.
I'm keeping with it, though.
Can't believe how much I've talked about Star Wars in this episode. Oh, okay. Well, if you have nothing left, I have nothing left. We can just go ahead and watch the next episode if we choose.
That sounds good to me, because, you know, I like me some Haley.
We do have some newer listeners that have joined the group, and some people are watching the show for the first time, and they're watching along with you. So welcome and enjoy. I hope you guys have as many crazy theories as Krista does. Somebody just started watching for the first time and was posting about her thoughts after the pilot episode we did.
Yes.
Which is pretty fun.
Yeah, that was pretty fun, even for me.
I forget who that was, but that was fun. All right. Well, then, until next week, always and forever, motherfuckers.
Hello, brother. All the blood that I will bleed. I don't know where I belong. I don't know where I went wrong. I can write a song. I belong.
That was an Unspoiled Network podcast.